I sat there speechless, goggling at it. So help me God, if I could have come at her in that moment, I'd have snapped her neck in cold blood for a lying, canting, thieving, seducing, hypocritical, smooth-tongued, two-faced slut. To think that only yesterday I'd been laughing up my sleeve about how she was helping me on my way home with a fortune unsuspected, while she was going to have to go back to regular whoring to earn a living. And now she was away, beyond hope of recovery, and my britch's arse was hanging out again, and she'd live in the lap of luxury somewhere on my hard-gotten booty. When I thought of the torture and risk I'd gone through for that priceless haul, I raved aloud. Well, it was no wonder I was put out then. Nah, after so many years, it doesn't seem to matter much. I have that letter still. It's old and worn and yellow. Like me. She never became like that. She died as lovely as she'd always been, far away in America, having lived before she died. I suppose I'm maudlin, but I don't think particularly hard of her now. She was in the game for the same things as the rest of us. She got more of them, that's all. I'd rather think of her as the finest romp that ever pressed a pillow. The most beautiful I ever knew, anyway. And I still wear my whiskers. One doesn't forget Lola Montez ever. Conniving bitch. Of course, when you're old and fairly well pickled in drink, you can forgive most things past, and reserve your spite for the neighbours who keep you awake at night, and children who get under your feet. In youth it's different, and my fury that morning was frightful. I rampaged about that room, and hurled the furniture about, and when the landlord came to protest, I knocked him down and kicked him. Well, it was a tremendous outcry then. The constable was summoned, and it was a damn near thing that I wasn't hauled before a magistrate and jailed. In the end, there was nothing for it but to pack up what little I had and make back for Munich. I had a little cash now, thanks to Lola. God, that was the crowning insult. So that at long last I was able to make for home, weary and angry and full of venom. I left Germany poorer than I came in, although, of course, there was still £250 of Lola's, or Bismarck's, money in the bank at home. I had 2 sabre cuts and a gash on my arm, a decent grasp of the German language, and several white hairs, I imagine, after what I'd been through. Oh, that was another thing, of course. I had a scalp that looked like a hog's back for bristles, although it grew right in time. And to make my temper even worse, by the time I reached the Channel, I heard news that Lola was in Switzerland, fornicating with Viscount Peel, the old Prime Minister's son. No doubt he was well peeled, too, by the time she'd finished with him. I've only once been back to Germany. Indeed, I don't include it even among the garrulous reminiscences that have made me the curse of half the clubs in London, those that'll have me. Only once did I tell the tale, and that was privately some years ago to young Hawkins, the lawyer. I must have been well foxed, or he was damn persuasive, and he's used it for the stuff of one of his romances, which sells very well, I'm told. He made it into a heroic tale, of course, but whether he believed it or not when I told it, I've no idea. Probably not. It's a good deal stranger than fiction, and yet not so strange, because such resemblances as mine and Carl Gustav's do happen. Why, I can think of another case connected with this very story, and I saw it when the Duchess Irma came to London in the old Queen's diamond year. They were related, as I've said. It's the only time I've seen Irma since. I kept well in the background, of course, but I had a good look at her, and even at 70 she was a damned handsome piece, and set me itching back over the years. She was a widow then, Carl Gustav having died of a chill on the lungs back in the 60s, but she had her son with her. He was a chap in his 40s, I should say, and the point is that he was the living spit of Rudi von Starnberg. Well, that can only have been coincidence, of course. Gave me quite a turn, though, and for a moment I was glancing nervously round for a quick retreat. Rudi, I last heard of with the Germans when they marched on Paris. There was a rumour of his death, so he's probably been stoking Lucifer's fires these 30 years, and good luck to him. Unlike Mr. Rassendyll, I did not exercise myself daily in arms in expectation of trying another round with him. One was enough to convince me that with fellows like young Rudy, the best weapon you can have is a long pair of legs and a good start. Bismarck, well, all the world knows about him. I suppose he was one of the greatest statesmen of the age, a shaper of destiny and all the rest of it. He got to his feet for me, though, when I looked down my nose at him. I like to think back on that. And it is queer to consider that, but for me, the course of history in Europe might have been very different. Though who's to know? Bismarck, Lola, Rudy, Irma, and I. The threads come together and then run very wide, and are all gathered together again and go into the dark in the end. You see, I can be philosophical. I'm still here.